there and welcome to Short Science, your international era-spanning portal for all the very best science in brief. I'm Elizabeth Hawke. On the show today, we'll be discussing alternative sources of power production, from solar and wind power to using sewage to satisfy our power-hungry ways. Plus, we'll have the Short Science News in Brief, News Archive, Statistic of the Week, and a random medical condition for you to digest. Broadcasting on bungalowradio.com and podcasting via iTunes. This is Short Science. Hello there and welcome to the show. So we're continuing our new format today. Did you hear last week's show? What did you think? Love the new format? Hate it? Well, have another listen to how things go today and then let us know what you think. Now, you can get in touch with us here in the studio by calling our recording service on +44 7401 856 681 or by emailing us studio@shortscience.co.uk. Now, if you happen to miss out on last week's show, you can catch up via the Short Science website. All our shows are there with listen again links. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so that Short Science will be delivered straight to your computer each and every week, ready for you to take a listen. Now, we also have a full archive on our website, so you can go all the way back to episode one if you want, or indeed listen to any episode since. So we're now part of the Bungalow Radio family. Now, Bungalow is a brand new online radio station broadcasting 24 hours a day, with programming time to suit a European and a US audience. Now, Short Science broadcasts at 8 p.m. UK time and 8 p.m. Mountain time in the US. For details about Bungalow Radio, you should go to their website, www.bungalowradio.com. Now, you can check out the shows, presenters and music from the playlist and keep up to date with the schedule and latest news. You can listen live to Bungalow from the main website, or if you just want to go straight to the audio stream, go to bungalowonair.com, which is the streaming page. Well, let's get today's show moving now. It's time to find out what's been hitting the science headlines in the Short Science News in Brief. Ancient Tools Find Demands Rewrite of American History. A massive archaeological find near Austin in Texas has brought into question the current thinking on the first American settlers. So previously thought to be the Clovis culture that crossed from Siberia into America, these tools predate that culture and are demanding a rethink and rewrite of early American history. Japan decommissioning nuclear reactors. As suspected, the nuclear reactors at Fukushima have been damaged beyond repair by the earthquake, tsunami, and emergency cooling measures. The reactors will now be made safe and decommissioned from use. Researchers develop belch-free fodder for our livestock in an effort to cut methane emissions. China is top of the leaderboard when it comes to clean energy production with massive investment in low-carbon technology. Curry spice turmeric is an effective explosives detector. Exposure to explosives particles in the air changes the fluorescence of the spice, which can be measured with spectroscopy. Infection-carrying European tick now established in UK. So, burping and passing wind are inconvenient and embarrassing human foibles at the best of times. But for cows, well, it's just what they do. They eat, they get gassy, they let the gas go. That's bovine life. But each and every passage of gas is adding to global warming. In fact, livestock emissions account for about 9% of the total UK greenhouse gas emissions. And now scientists have come up with ways of feeding livestock that could reduce this by about 33%. They propose increasing maize silage, feeding cows high-sugar grasses, and feeding sheep naked oats. So that's what's been keeping a whole bunch of scientists here in the UK good and busy for the last few months and years. But let's take a look back now at what's been occupying scientists in years gone by. So on the 6th of April in 1748, excavations began to rediscover the buried city of Pompeii that was destroyed 17 centuries earlier by the volcanic eruption of Mount Vesuvius. In 1909, man finally reached the North Pole. The first to arrive were two Inuits and African-American explorer Matthew Henson. Finally, about 45 minutes later, the leader of the expedition and first man to the pole, Robert Peary, actually arrived. On this day in 1928, James Watson of Watson and Crick was born. Now, of course, along with Crick, he went on to describe the structure of DNA. And finally, on this day in 1993, a huge radioactive cloud started drifting out across the Russian wilderness after a tank of radioactive waste exploded at a secret military plant in Tomsk, 1,700 miles east of Moscow. Well, that rounds up our current and archive news for this week. Now, if you have any questions or comments, then please get in touch. The number is 07401 856 681, and that will put you through to our recording service where you can leave a message, or you can send an email to studio@shortscience.co.uk. Well, now that we've dispatched with all that news, past and present, it must be time for Statistic of the Week. Now, this week we're looking at two statistics relating to the number of people who reportedly suffer injury of some description from using phones. Now, the first statistic comes from studies conducted by the telecoms industry. The second statistic comes from independent studies. And unsurprisingly, the two sources of data did not come up with the same figure. Now, this is referring to any description of injury from phone use. So not to alarm you if you haven't yet been injured by your phone. Now, the statistic generated by the telecoms industry was that 28% of people have at some time suffered an injury through phone use. Now, the independent figure wasn't even close, with a massive leap to 63% of people reporting injury through phone use. So what do you reckon? Are either of those figures actually representative? Have you ever been injured by phone use? Maybe they're referring to, I don't know, a stiff neck from jamming the phone between your ear and your shoulder, or sore fingers and thumbs from too much texting. I don't know, but that figure does seem awfully high to me, but maybe there's a lot more phone injury going on out there than we realise. Well, let's move on now from phone injury to other injuries to the human body. Now, this week we're looking at two conditions named after a clinician called Frederick Still. Now, he was born in 1868 and died in 1941 and gave his name to two medical phenomena. Now, the first is the so-called Still's murmur. Now, this is a completely insignificant heart murmur that can sometimes be heard in childhood but disappears in adulthood. Now, the second thing that was named after him is a slightly more serious medical condition called Still's disease. Now, this is a form of arthritis that affects children, and arthritis is an inflammatory condition that affects the joints, causing swelling and pain. But with Still's disease, there's also often enlargement of the liver, swollen lymph nodes, and a swollen spleen. Now, Still himself described this condition as occurring before the second dentition, meaning that it would tend to start before the replacement of the milk teeth with adult teeth in children. Now, most of the symptoms of Still's disease do tend to wear themselves out and disappear, but the arthritis can persist into adulthood. And although most of the symptoms do disappear, there is the potential for damage to the heart and lungs. Now, Still's disease can be managed effectively with steroids and anti-inflammatory drugs to reduce the symptoms in the joints and around the body. Well, let's move on now to our discussion capsule of the week. And this week we're looking at alternative sources of power generation. Now, you've been getting in touch with your questions and suggestions, and this week James in Colchester is going to start us off with our first question. Now, he asked, how exactly does a solar panel convert sunlight into electricity? Well, there are many competing technologies in the world of solar power. There's photovoltaic cells, thin film monocrystalline silicon, polycrystalline silicon, amorphous cells, as well as lots of types of concentrating solar power. So let's start off with the photovoltaic cell. So that's the typical thing that you'd see in a solar panel. That's what we'd probably all imagine when we think about solar power. Now, you might think that this is a modern technology, but the first solar cell was actually constructed in the 1880s by a man called Charles Fritz. Now, photovoltaic solar panels work with the photovoltaic effect. So what is that? Well, it's the creation of an electric current in a semiconductor when exposed to sunlight. Now, the sunlight causes excitation of electrons within the semiconductor, causing them to move from one band or state to another. Now, this movement causes the build-up of voltage between two electrodes, which can then be used to power electrical devices. Now, we tend to only think of small-scale use of solar panels, such as having a panel on the roof of your house, or perhaps using solar panels on spaceships to generate power. But there are actually whole power stations that operate with solar panels. Now, the largest photovoltaic power stations are in Canada, Germany, and Italy. Well, the next question came in from Caroline in Dorchester, and she asked about the practicality of solar panels, given that the sun moves all the time during the day. Well, Caroline, in these large-scale photovoltaic power stations, the solar panels are mounted on special stands that are linked to tracking devices. Now, this means that the solar panels can be continuously repositioned and angled to collect the most sunlight. Next up, David in London asked where the largest solar power station in the world is. Well, the largest solar power stations actually use a slightly different technology, so not the typical photovoltaic cell. Instead, they use concentrating solar power, or CSP. Now, this uses a system of lenses and mirrors, plus, of course, a tracking system, to focus a large area of sunlight into a small beam. Now, the concentrated heat that this beam contains is then used as a heat source for conventional power generation, as we discussed last week. Now, the largest of these stations is in the Mojave Desert in California, but there are also several smaller plants in Spain. Now, the next question asked was a very important one indeed, and a couple of people actually asked about this, John in London and Daniel in Guildford. So what happens at night when the sun goes in? Well, with both solar and wind power, the source of energy, sunlight or wind, is intermittent. Now, this means that there will not be a continuous supply of energy and therefore of electricity. So in order to deliver a continuous supply, there needs to be a way to store excess electricity produced in peak operating periods for the times when the source energy is absent. Now, solar energy can be stored at high temperatures using molten salts, and the salts are very effective for storing this energy. Also, rechargeable batteries can be used, so they can be recharged while electricity production is plentiful, and then when there's no electricity being produced, power can be supplied from the batteries. Another way is pumped storage hydroelectricity. So surplus electricity produced when there's plenty of sun or wind can be used to pump water from a low-level reservoir up to a high-level one. This can then be kept up there waiting, and when there's no sun or wind around to generate electricity, the water can be released and hydroelectric power can generate electricity to fill in between the sun and wind. Now, mostly, research is working to combine electricity production methods in these ways to overcome the intermittent nature of renewable sources like sunlight and wind. Now, Janet in Aldershot asked about wind power. She wanted to know where the largest wind farm in the UK is and how much electricity that can produce. Well, in the UK, there are 283 operational wind farms, with a total of 3,153 wind turbines. Now, potentially, these can produce 5.2 gigawatts of power. And the UK is ranked the 8th largest producer of wind power in the world. Now, the offshore wind farm at Thanet in Kent is actually the largest offshore wind farm in the world, with 100 turbines. The largest onshore wind farm is at Whiteley in Scotland, and that has 140 turbines. Now, you might think that putting wind turbines out at sea is a far more complex process than putting them on the land, but certainly here in the UK, it's a lot easier to get permission to build wind farms out at sea than it is onshore. Now, we previously mentioned that you could use sewage to generate power. So what's that about? Well, the fermentation of sewage, manure, landfill waste, green waste, and plant materials produces biogas. Now, this only occurs due to anaerobic fermentation, so that's in the absence of oxygen. and this biogas can be used as a fuel. Now, there are benefits to capturing and using biogas. Biogas contains nitrous dioxide and methane, which are many times more warming for the atmosphere than carbon dioxide. So leaving these gases to just drift off into the atmosphere, for example from cow manure, is contributing greatly to global warming. Now, if you had just one cow and you collected one day's worth of cow manure, that would produce 3 kilowatt hours of electricity. And that would be enough to power a 100 watt light bulb for well over a day. However, there are a few problems with biogas. Now, it contains corrosive elements that would damage the inside of a power plant. So before it can be burnt, it needs to be purified or upgraded. Now, amazingly, biogas can actually be cleaned by passing a stream of biogas in one direction against a stream of water in the other. So it can just be cleaned with water, like washing your hands. It's amazing. Anyway, this process would require 3 to 6% of the power output. So in other words, 3 to 6% of the power produced from the biofuel would have been needed to produce it in the first place. Now, biogas can also be used for commercial gas consumption to power our cookers and central heating systems. Now, in the UK, we're not really using biogas in a big way. And it wasn't until last year that biogas was injected into our gas grid for domestic use. And in fact, we only have a few biogas power stations in the country anyway. So it really potentially is a fuel source of the future that's not really taken off here in the UK. Well, we'd better stop there for this week. Thanks to everyone that got in touch with questions and suggestions for us. Now, next week, we'll be talking about radiotherapy, the medicinal use of radioactivity to treat cancers and other diseases. So we'd like you to get in touch with your thoughts about that. Is radiotherapy an effective treatment? Should we be concentrating more on drug or gene therapies? Or does radiation have something different to offer? Are there any negative impacts of radiation therapy? Well, you can call in with your thoughts and questions to our recording service on +44 7401 856 681. Or you can send us an email to studio@shortscience.co.uk. Now, we'd really love to hear from you and include you in our discussion capsule, so please do get in touch. Now, don't forget to check out the website shortscience.co.uk for more information about each of our shows and what's coming up in the future. Also, you can check out the bungalowradio.com website to find out more about the radio station and the other shows being broadcast each day. Well, this has been Short Science, broadcasting on bungalowradio.com and podcasting via iTunes. My name is Elizabeth Hawke, and I have been your presenter and producer today. The theme tune was written and produced by Don Gould of Music by Design. Join us again next week for another episode of Short Science.
Radiofonica.com.
Eden, la danza di un mondo perfetto. Ah, Eden, se il tuo sguardo dice ti aspetto. Come nuove idee di un vecchio universo. sala danze, domenica aperto. Eden, il tuo passo che non è più incerto.
Gente a cui lo chiederei. C'era un amico qui da me per il caffè. E nel parlar di tutto abbiamo parlato anche di te. Dormo sotto i limiti e c'è chi dice che siamo sempre lì. Ci vuole un anno con senziente almeno un po' per dare nuova vita a questo show. E tu amami, 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 morirò per te. E questa notte non è scusa, non c'è la luna che non c'è. Amami, 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 siamo io e te. E dopo il sesso voglio un cesso, una sigaretta, un carcabè.
Radiofonica.com.